Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here. Getaway Friday, October the 29th, 2021. 17 coming up on 18 minutes past the hour. Now, don't forget, live election coverage next Tuesday. When we come back from the weekend, we will have live election coverage here on WWGH Radio. And the way we do it, we start at 7:15, and we do not go off the air until all the races are called. Now, this year, it will be local races in general. We have some township trustees, city council, city treasurer. There are some levies. Marion City Schools has a levy on the ballot this year. I believe a fire levy for the township. I don't have the paper in front of me, is out there. So we will be on the air giving you those results until the elections are called, starting at 7:15 p.m. on Tuesday. Glenn Coble will be at Democratic headquarters. Linda Sims will be at the Board of Elections. And Terry Tackett will be at Republican headquarters. Here in the studio, we'll have Sean Kraft, Angie Evers, myself, and 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Should be a fun night, to be sure. And joining us this hour to catch up on some things and some travels and trips and all kinds of other interesting stuff, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, good to see you.
Well, it's good to see you, Scott.
Mary Ellen, here we are, what now, 5 days from an election. That close to an election, what are the candidates feeling right now?
They're numb.
I bet.
Yeah, right. You just don't know what to do. It's close, and you think, how can I finish this off, you know? And it gets to be really kind of hard on you at this point.
With elections always falling on a Tuesday, what is that last weekend like?
Oh, it's just always crazy, you know. It's trying to do everything you can.
You ran for city office here, a matter of fact, city treasurer, Tom...
No, county.
Or county treasurer, mm-hmm. Excuse me. Tom Panett running for city treasurer. Somebody who's been in that office for a while, like Tom, do you feel better as an incumbent, or are you more nervous?
Well, it depends on what your opponent has done. You know, if they've been really tough with their charges and so forth, you have to answer those. I don't think that's been the case here, has it?
You know, this election, to be honest with you, I can't think of any really nasty things that have been said.
No. Well, you know, Tom's been there. He knows what he's doing, and he should be fine. Yeah.
What do you make of elections in general? We don't see as many yard signs. We don't seem to see as many mailings as before. Do you think it's changed?
Well, I've seen a lot of yard signs, but I haven't had hardly any mailings. Yeah.
I was looking last night as I was driving home, and I see a few, but not a lot. When city council would run, I would see a ton of yard signs because it covers the entire city, and I just don't see the amount that I used to.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I really didn't notice that. It seemed like I'd seen quite a few, but the mailings, it's so expensive to mail, send out a mailing. It's a lot more expensive than a yard sign.
Do you think people look at those, or do they look at those and go, politics, and right in the garbage?
Well, I think in many cases that's what happens, yeah.
So was that a big tool that you used, or did you think yard signs was the way to go?
Well, I always used yard signs because the mailing was too expensive for me. Yeah, I didn't feel I had the money to do it. Yeah.
I remember for years Charlie Evers talking about a very effective billboard that you had close to the radio station.
Right.
Now, did that end up being a very effective way of advertising billboards?
Well, I don't. I would think it is. You know, I've got a billboard now.
Oh, you do?
Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
It's right across from Harding. It's Norman and I, and it's Marion Community Foundation.
Really?
Yeah, it says something about memories, and, you know, they're trying to get people to join in on the scholarship situation. Yeah, and so I've got a billboard right now. People think I'm running for office.
You know, Marielle, maybe this is the problem with me and the yard signs, because I drive by Harding every day, and I've never seen the billboard.
You haven't seen it?
No, I feel terrible.
It just went up.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that's why.
Yeah, it just went up. It's only been up about 2 days, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to look for it next time I'm over there.
Yeah, check it out.
Check it out.
I haven't seen it yet, but I know what it's supposed to look like.
Oh, good, good. Yeah. And so for the Marion Community Foundation.
Yeah, right.
I know the city politics are, and you've been busy with a trip recently, but I just want to talk about a few things in the upcoming election. We have... this sixth ward is interesting because you have Kathy Swanger, who was an independent. She's the incumbent, but now she's running as a Democrat.
Yeah, it says Democrat on the ballot.
Democrat on the ballot, absolutely. And she's running against Mike Neff, who is an at-large councilman who now has moved to the sixth ward. So when you have two current council people running for the same seat, somebody's not going to be a council person come January. Does that make it a more difficult ratio? That most people are probably familiar with them both.
They probably are, yeah. It depends on how they've functioned, you know.
Did anybody, I know Tara Dyer asked for your endorsement. Mm-hmm. Did anybody else on council, have you spoken to any of them?
Yes, I've spoke to Dana Booker, and I have supported her.
Do you feel...
And Tom, not that he's on the council, he's running for treasurer, but Tom Panett, too. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel confident in the Democrats' chances come Tuesday?
Well, I think they have a good chance, yes. Yeah.
A citywide election is really different because it will be low voter turnout because there's no gubernatorial race, there's no... presidential race,
mm-hmm.
But it really comes down to who you like in the city, it seems like.
Well, I think everybody needs to pay attention to who they're electing, because what we've just gone through with the city auditor situation, we don't want someone in office that's not qualified.
I want to talk to you a little bit about this, because we haven't had a chance to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You were one of the first on this show to call for Robert Landon's resignation.
Yes, right.
Since then, he has. We have not talked. You said you felt, I believe, that he would not resign.
That's what I thought in the beginning, yeah.
When it finally happened, what'd you think?
I was surprised, yeah. But it was a good thing that he did.
When we look at those last few days, the last 10 days, the press release that said the books were reconciled, finding out that they were not,
mm-hmm.
The police report that was called in about stealing mail, the... just all the three resignation letters, the firing of the interim auditor the following day after he resigned, which we found out he could not do. What do you make of that behavior in local politics?
Well, it's almost like he didn't understand how he was supposed to perform. I think he was in over his head, and he was in a very bad situation, and trying to cover up is a terrible thing when you're in office.
The interesting thing we learned this week from the mayor on Tuesday is that when they went and cleaned out his office, Martin Watts, the interim auditor, found all of these documents, I guess I should say, that city council had no idea about, that the mayor had no idea about, that the city owed this money to the IRS, that if there was a possibility at one point, if these fines weren't paid, that the city's assets could be frozen or taken. Thank goodness that didn't happen. The mayor said that would have brought the city to a halt.
Yeah.
That this mispayment, where really this all started, this mispayment to the state that should have gone to the IRS, that Landon had appealed that, but that he had been denied and never told council that he had been denied. The mayor referred to it as a cover-up. Well, what do you make of that?
Well, that's exactly what it was, a cover-up, and not letting people know what had happened and saying everything was all right is totally a bad thing to do.
When you're in office, city or county, when you would get something addressed to you, how important was it to share with the county officials, the city officials?
Well, it would depend on what it was. And if you were not able to understand it, I always talk to somebody that would clarify it for me. There's always a chance that you are not sure of what they are talking about, and that can happen. But, you know, I think that he was not capable of doing the job, because when you cover up like that, and it was just a bad situation.
And I guess the final thought on this will be, we talked to Marion County Prosecutor Ray Grogan yesterday, and we talked to Mayor Schertzer. This has now, all these issues, the filing of a false police report, the intimidation of a public official, if that's what they deem it was, with Josh Daniels saying he stole his mail, the issues with the city, not reporting the documents that he had,
yeah.
All this stuff is now with a special prosecutor. Do you think there could be charges coming?
Well, there certainly could be. It depends on what falls out here, but we'll see.
And there is talk right now. We talked about it last night at Candidates Night, that a lot of city council officials seem to think that Robert Landon should be held accountable for this money, not the taxpayers, these fines.
Wow.
Yeah. Do you think that's a way to go?
Well, if you know, it depends on what the law is. I don't know what the law is on that. And if that's what they say it is, then he is.
You never had an issue like this, but can you imagine dealing with people's money and having something like this happen?
Well, it's a terrible thing to... you know, that's the thing. When you're taking care of other people's money, that's a very important job.
And final bit on this, when you look back, because when you resign, when there is all this chaos concerning a public official like Robert Landon, people do end up knowing your name better. You're in the paper every day. They're talking about you on the radio. People are going to remember his tenure. How will you remember it? What do you have to say about the person and how this all was handled?
Well, you just don't want them in any other public office again.
Do you have any thought in your mind why it happened?
Well, he wasn't prepared for it. He really wasn't knowledgeable about the job. And when you don't know how to do a job, the first thing you start to do is talk to the people that know how to do it and that can help you, and he didn't do that.
I was talking to the mayor about this. This does come back on the city in a way, not only financially at this point, but is it an embarrassment for the city?
Yes, it's a bad mark on Marion, Ohio. Yeah.
And how do we fix that?
Well, you make sure we've got somebody that's straightening it out, and you try to get it back to where it should be. And that's what they're trying to do, I presume.
Last we heard from the mayor is that he is meeting with the state auditors again, I think sometime in the next 10 days, or maybe 15 days. But apparently they're saying at this point that the books for 2020 possibly won't be reconciled until March of 2022. Which is about a year late.
Yeah, right.
It's
It's a mess.
Do you remember anything like this in Marion history?
No.
Political history?
No, I don't ever.
Mm-mm. Yeah. It's a fascinating study in what can happen.
Right.
You know, something I also learned from the mayor is that he said there's not a whole lot of check and balance when it comes to local government.
Well, there should be.
Yeah, why do you think there's not?
Well, I don't know. Somebody ought to look into that.
Now, apparently.
We had it in state government, I'll tell you. You have the auditor that's checking on you all the time.
Well, it's still confusing to me if the city wants to see some documentation, why can't they?
I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't understand how the doors were locked to this office and that it was hard getting information
right.
out of it.
Right.
I thought there were laws that prevented that.
Well, I thought you had to be in your office a certain number of days a month. And maybe that isn't the case in city government. I don't know. But it was the case in the offices I held.
When we look at this whole thing, it was very interesting because his resignation letter, and there were three versions of it, but essentially, Robert Landon never mentioned the city's finances. He talked about the mayor and city council playing political
yes.
games.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah. Any idea why it came out that way?
Well, he still can't recognize what he did wrong. He's blaming somebody else, and that's not the way to end everything.
Do you think this coming so close to a local election will help the Democrats?
I think it will. People should think about who they're voting for and make sure they're voting for the right person.
Are you surprised that for auditor, you really don't have to have any financial background at all?
Yeah, I am a little surprised, but, you know, most offices, I think the only one is that you have to be a lawyer if you're a prosecutor. The rest of them, it's not there.
When you came in to county treasurer, what was your background?
My background was the school board.
School board. Mm-hmm. Now, coming in, how did you learn what was needed in that position?
Well, I tell you, the County Treasurers Association was a big help to me. I talked to the Attorney General a lot to double-check on legal things, and I talked to some of the judges a lot on legal things as well. I was always reaching out for information because you need to make sure you're doing something that's within the law, and that's number one right there. You have to make sure it's within the law.
One of the other big issues coming up Tuesday night, Marion City Schools has a renewal levy on the ballot, and we have just found that it is incredibly difficult in recent years for schools to pass bond issues or levies. For somebody who was on school board at one point, are you shocked that it's become so hard for schools to get these things passed?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm.
Do you think open enrollment had anything to do with it?
No, I don't think so. I would think that would help it.
Well, I think one of the questions is that a lot of it's based on property tax.
Yeah,
and if you live in the Marion City School District, but you send your kids to River Valley because of open enrollment, your property taxes, what you vote on is Marion City Schools, even though you've sent your kids to a different school. And I'm not sure that that's helpful
mm-hmm.
to the voters.
Well, it could be a problem. I don't know. I really can't answer that.
Do you have any feeling one way or another on the Marion City School renewal levy?
Oh, I'm always for it. Yeah. I've always supported school levies. Yeah.
And in Marion City Schools, they have the Withrow Schools now, which are
yes.
very nice.
Yes, they're doing a great job.
Going along well. Mm-hmm. Want to talk about this. Last week, you were not in Marion. I think first time out of Marion County in a couple years.
Yeah, right. I've been here for a couple of years without seeing anything else. So I was so happy to go to Washington, and I'm on a committee for the the Treasury Historical Society, and we had a meeting and a reception, and I got to see the treasurer that followed me. She wasn't in the committee. I'm only treasurer on the committee, but she was at the reception, and I got to see Secretary Larry Summers and Secretary Liu that was under Obama, and I just had a great time.
What is an event like that like?
Well, it was not held at Treasury because it's still closed. And so it was in somebody else's office building. This Sam Mott, who is in an office building close by there. And there's only a few people on the committee. And we were discussing raising money for the always trying to keep Treasury looking beautiful. It's such a beautiful building. And if you've ever been inside, we've got gold leaf on a lot of things. It's just a gorgeous building. And to see the different people, we stayed at the Hay Adams, which is directly across from the White House. And it was close to where the meetings were held. And we went to the Ford Theater to a play about Marian Anderson, and that was really great. I enjoyed that. And we went to the Phillips Museum and went out to see where I used to live. just to see the fence around the White House is twice as tall as it was when I was there. I couldn't get over that. I said, boy, nobody's going to jump over that fence, because when I was there, somebody jumped over the fence, you know.
I remember that.
And there was policemen in the street patrolling, and it was just totally different. Everything was shut off. You couldn't even walk between the Treasury and White House. That was always open where you could go through. It was just a lot of iron up everywhere.
Is the city itself, the mood of it, upbeat?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Everybody was so nice. Everybody was wearing masks. Nobody was causing trouble about anything. Everybody was just very, very nice. Yeah.
When you were working in D.C., was there a favorite restaurant or place you would go for lunch?
Yeah, Ebbets Grill.
Ebbets Grill. Mm-hmm. Is it still there?
It's still there, but I tell you, I ate at the hotel the whole time because it was really good food, and I thought, I can't leave this. I'm just going to eat there. Yeah.
Now, when you would go to Ebbets Grill, what was the thing you liked the most?
Oh, I liked everything, and they called me by my first name, and, you know, it was one of those situations.
Friendly atmosphere.
Yes, yeah.
When we look at the pandemic right now, 46% vaccinated here in Marion, which is below the state average, below the national average, and doesn't seem to be changing a whole lot as we head into the holiday season. What do you make of that?
Well, I heard on TV this morning it's really dropped 20% in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. I think the cases are getting less, thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think people are going to celebrate the holidays this year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I do. I'm going to celebrate them.
It was hard last year.
It was. Yeah. I got my booster shot. That was before I went to D.C. And, I think it's really important to get the shots. And now that the children can get them, that's good.
Are you surprised that there is such a resistance? 54% of people here in Marion are not vaccinated.
Well, I'm surprised, yes. I think they should get vaccinated to help out on keeping the disease down. I don't know why anybody'd want to get the disease, you know.
Do you think it's ever going to change at this point until we can get those vaccination numbers up?
Well, I don't know. They're trying, you know, people are fighting against it when they're trying to force them. The only thing that, you know, is going to get them to take the shots is being scared to get the disease, and if until they're scared about it, they're probably not going to get the shots.
What do you make of this whole infrastructure bill with Biden right now that they are having so much trouble with?
I think it's disgusting what Manchin is doing. The gal from Arizona, I think they're nothing but a couple of problem makers. Yeah.
Do you think this comes down to what they really believe, or is it about being reelected?
They're being paid off.
Really?
Oh, sure.
By
people that want to control, and you have to make guesses on that.
I saw some articles in some papers this morning where they feel this is really hurting Biden at this point.
It is, yes.
What can he do?
He's tried to do everything he could, and he's a good president, and this is ridiculous. These two are Democrats. What kind of Democrats are they? You know.
What world have we stumbled into? We talked about this during Obama's years. We talked about it certainly during Trump's years, and now we're seeing it in Biden's years. Biden is a longtime mover and shaker in Washington. He knows the Senate and the Congress. He was vice president for 8 years. He's now president. And even he can't get compromise in his own party. How is anything ever going to get done in this country if this is the way it goes?
Right. It's ridiculous. And, you know, you look back and Obama couldn't get anything passed. And it's just been, the last several years have just been terrible as far as people working together and for the good of the country. They don't care about the country or they wouldn't be acting like this.
Well, and with the local elections coming up, I talked to the candidates last night. If you look at city council votes, and local did not used to be this way. If you look at city council votes, and I'm not saying everyone and everybody, but a lot of things are right down the center. Kai Mead said last night at the debate we had that there were three Republican council members who had the auditor's back no matter what he did.
Yeah, isn't that something? Same way with Trump. Yeah.
But that didn't used to be the local way.
No.
Why on the local level does that mean so much, the party you're in?
You tell me.
That's a good question.
Right.
I don't know what's happened in the last 10 years.
I guess stubbornness, ridiculousness. I don't know how to describe it.
What would you like to be, if you were, you know, the age that you first ran, would you like this? Would you like getting in politics at this point?
No.
Would you think twice if it were?
I tell you, if you get into politics, you have to really feel that you believe in what you're doing. That's the basics of getting into politics. If you believe in yourself, and these people that are in politics have lost that. They're only stuck to somebody else and doing what somebody else wants.
Do you ever wonder, it seems like no matter who's in, no matter what party, the votes will fall how they may, but nationally, infrastructure. We have been talking about infrastructure for the last three presidents.
Yes, both parties.
Both parties.
Yes.
But we cannot get a bill passed.
That's right. It's just because they are trying to be difficult is what I believe. They're trying to be difficult. And the president the other day said when you've got 50-50 in the Senate, everybody's president. Isn't that interesting? I thought that was a good statement.
That's an interesting statement.
Yeah.
When it comes to the president, where are the Lyndon Johnsons? And as to say, if you don't remember who Lyndon Johnson, the listening audience, Lyndon Johnson didn't always have total Democratic support, but he would go in a back room and he would twist arms and he would get what he needed done. Is that even a possibility anymore?
Well, I think they've tried to twist arms. They've certainly met enough times and twisted arms. It hadn't worked.
Is there no such thing as compromise?
Evidently not, because I haven't seen it. And maybe it's coming down the road here, and I hope so.
It's very strange to watch.
Yes,
it is. And in Marion, for somebody who's been around Marion a long time, every city or county election, two things are always brought up. The storm sewer system we have here, and blighted houses.
Oh, really?
Oh, every election. But yet, you got to get the money from somewhere, and if you can't get the money, replacing the storm sewer system is a pricey thing to do.
Is it?
I would say so.
I know nothing about that.
I don't know much about it either, but I would think digging up the streets and going under there and trying to replace this sewer system we have is... But everybody campaigns on it.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, we're going to fix that.
Uh-huh.
And then we don't...
Then it doesn't happen.
And the reason is we don't have the money.
Yeah.
We don't have the money.
Not when it's been lost down the tubes by somebody.
Well, there are those fines out there right now. Do you have any... The mayor has a fear, he told me. Maybe I hope that's the right word. But he's concerned. Maybe that's a better term to use. That there's more to come from what he doesn't know about what Robert Landon did.
Well, if he said that, there probably is.
That's not settling for the citizens at this point.
No.
And when I asked the mayor, I said, well, what would you say about the city's finances at this point? And he said, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to hear that.
No. Well, he's careful in what he says.
Well, how important is it to be cognizant when you're dealing with a city or county's money of what you're doing?
Oh, my goodness. You've got to know what you're doing.
Does this show people what can happen if you don't know what you're doing?
It certainly has. It's been a lesson for us. Yeah.
Do we have to go through that to learn?
Evidently.
When you run for office, so much is based on your personality. Because really... That's all people know. We really don't know.
Don't know how they're going to take care of them.
wait, there's no test.
Well, this is, I ran against six men in the first time there in the primary, and none of them were a treasurer. And I said, doesn't it make sense to elect a treasurer to be treasurer? And I was the only woman, and... I had some tough competition, I'll tell you. I had a federal judge. I had a lot of different people, real estate people and prosecutors and,
Well, it comes right down in the end to, do people know what they're doing? And maybe more now than ever, it seems to be, do we like the person? Are they friendly?
Well, that's got a lot to do with it. But, I think you do need to look into the background and it isn't always, education. I mean, it's their willingness to work, and he evidently didn't have the willingness to work.
The mayor made an interesting statement, and not that it's wrong to bring up your religious beliefs, but Landon seemed to do that quite a bit in statements he was making. And the mayor said, I go to church on Sunday, I have religious beliefs, but I don't talk about them in my job. What do you make of that, the infiltration of that into people's...
Well, it's not supposed to be connected.
Do you think it's creeping more and more in?
I didn't know that it was. I haven't noticed it.
I think what the mayor was probably referring to is a lot of his public statements were based in some sort of religion, I guess is the best way to put it. His beliefs.
You mean Landon?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. When you were running, would you have brought up your religion? Or
No. They wanted to know about how I felt about guns. They wanted to know how I felt about abortion. They didn't care about my religion.
Well, now, this is an interesting question. This is interesting. Well, I think we know how you feel about abortion.
Yeah.
But what is your thought on gun control?
Well, back then, I was for gun control, but I felt that people should be allowed to have guns, and I still feel that way, but they need to have the backgrounds checked and be doing more serious things to control it, you know, so...
When you would go out and campaign and people would ask you these questions mm-hmm. on abortion and guns,
mm-hmm.
did you know that how you answered them might turn off a whole group of people?
Well, yes. I mean, it's my belief, and you answer it, and you have your reasons, you know. You have your strong reasons about it.
Is there any way somebody running for office can please... 90% of the people?
Probably not. No. No.
One person once said to me, they said, when you open your mouth to give an opinion, you've turned off half the people in the audience. I don't know if it's half, but sometimes you wonder.
Well, when I was going to run for governor, Celeste's wife, Dagmar, said, why would you want to run for governor? Every day you get up, somebody else doesn't like you. And that's probably true, you know.
I want to talk a little bit about the governor's race. It's not too far off now, the primary.
No, it's coming up. And you had somebody running for governor yesterday, is that right?
I did. I had Joe Blystone on.
Yes,
so
right.
Now I think we've had them all except Cranley. We haven't had Cranley yet. But we have had Nan Whaley several times. We've had Governor DeWine's been on in the past. We've had Jim Renacci and now Joe Blystone as of last night. Which, are you surprised that the Democratic primary is still staying so quiet compared to the Republican?
No, I'm not surprised. Why would they be noisy at this point?
Well, I think because we have a sitting Republican governor. Mm-hmm. And
yes, but he's favored more by the Democrats than the Republicans. Is that still the case, you think?
Probably.
Yeah.
But nobody's ever primaried an Ohio governor in more than a century.
Yeah, well, okay.
So I think a sitting Ohio governor.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I think everybody expected, well, if DeWine's going to run again, there won't be much conjecture on that side. There seems to be more conjecture.
Yeah.
And when I was interviewing Blystone last night and Renacci a month or two ago, I don't think they mentioned the Democrat. They just beat up on Governor DeWine as bad as they could, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the Republicans.
Yeah, yeah.
What happened to Governor DeWine?
Well, he's had a rough time with the pandemic, I think. I thought he did his best with it, but I think he's had some problems about this householder situation. I think there's some problems there, and I don't know. I really don't know how most people feel about him, but he's been in office for years and years, and practically every office there is. And I'm very surprised he's running again at his age. Yeah.
Do you think, and a lot of things can happen between now and May, although it's not that far off, do you think he can win his primary at this point?
Yes, I think he can. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's likely? Usually with a sitting governor, you'd say, well, yeah, they're going to win their primary.
Well, I think it's likely that he would win because a candidate that's in office has an advantage. I don't know, but I'm guessing, but I would think he could win it.
Do you think if DeWine ends up being the candidate, it will be more difficult for the Democrat, because a lot of Democrats, as you say, do have favorable feelings.
No, I don't think so. I think the Democrats will stick together. Yeah.
Do you think the Democrats will do better in the rural counties? That's really where they have
to
do better.
That's where it's at. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
What happened to the Democrats in the rural counties?
It's always been Republican in rural counties. You've always had that.
To win, though, you have to turn out. You may not win those counties, but you got to turn out a certain amount of votes.
You got to get the Democrats out.
Yeah, right. And it seems like they've had trouble with in the last few years.
Yeah.
Well, the gerrymandering here in Ohio, they're trying to change this.
It's been a joke, hasn't it?
Well, it's different.
Yes.
It's different.
Well, they didn't do much to change anything.
And as we go on, will it ever be changed?
I don't know. Don't ask me. I don't know.
How did this become a thing, that these districts would be drawn this way?
Well, we've let too many Republicans get in office. It's the three state officials that control it.
Do you still think Ohio is a swing state, or does it lean more one way?
Well, I think it's leaning more Republican right now, but it could swing back.
Last night, I believe the Marion Star gentleman, Mitch, who was here, said the average wage, and boy, I hope I get this right because I'm doing it from memory, but the average wage in Marion is something like $38,000 a year, which is well below.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah. What do you attribute that to? Did we do something wrong here in Marion?
Well, we lost all our industry. When we had industry, we were thriving.
Was there any particular reason it left and other areas were able to hold on to their industry?
No, I think it left just about everywhere. It went technical, and we've still got Whirlpool and a few other industries, but we had big time industries here.
I wanted to get your thoughts on this, and I guess it's a theory with all of us at this point, but why do you think nobody can get employees? Help wanted signs everywhere.
Well, they've tried to explain it, and I don't believe really what they're saying. They say that the people that weren't being paid very much have decided they can get a better job, and so they've dropped out of the jobs that they had. They're not going back to them, but I don't know if I believe that or not.
It's hard to understand.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me because it seems like everybody's having trouble. I think the worst thing is I was in Kroger's the other day and I can't get chipped ham. Can you believe that?
It's there's going to be some interesting times coming up as the holidays approach here.
Right.
And this is that time goes so fast, but the chain shortage.
The
chain shortage.
Again?
Okay. We're heading into it again.
They're not all going to work. I know that. Yeah.
Is that what is driving this? Is just...
Well, they're still shut down. I couldn't get in the Bureau of Engraving and Printing and the Mint. So they're working from home.
Well, it's interesting to me because when you tell people there's a chain shortage, they tell you no, there isn't. There seems to be a lot of skepticism about everything now.
Yeah, right.
Is that good or bad?
I don't know.
Neither do I. Well, I'm so glad you had a great trip. That is good to hear, Mary Ellen.
Yeah, thank you.
Always good to see you. And Tuesday night, we'll have a lot of fun.
Yes, I'm sure we will. Yep. I hope it's a good night.
We will see how... optimistic at this point?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, Tuesday night, Mary Ellen will be back with us here. And the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker coming up in about 10 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Convention. And if the boos you heard on television was something last night, you should have heard the boos in this arena.
No kidding.
To Republican candidate for president, Donald Trump.
We welcome to these microphones Donald Trump. Donald, how are you?
God, how are you?
Doing very well. What a busy week for you, sir.
I have to tell you, I have not slept.